Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 2nd of June 2024, Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from our Heart Sutta book, the second edition. We are at lesson 6, page 36. Okay, as usual, let us compose our mind, develop the Sada, Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Amila Pho, Namo Amila Pho, Namo Amila Pho, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Pusyan Pusa, Namo Tisangwang Pusa, Namo Tisangwang Pusa, Namo Tisangwang Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa.Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami.Supatipano bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavatoArahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami.Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami.Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami.Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majabhavadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect Triple Gem.Buddhang Pujyemi. Dhammang Pujyemi. Sanghang Pujyemi. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some more attention and we will start the class. Lesson 6, Heart Sutta class. We are at page 36. Heart Sutta, second edition. So this is our usual Sunday class. where we used to hold it at Wu Bing Jing Se, and the date for that sixth Heart Sutta class was 18th of March 2012, which is more than 12 years ago. So the time for the class usually start at 3 and at 6. So this is a Dhamma Kam meditation class. So usually the first session is Dhamma sharing. Then for our case is Dhamma sharing on the Heart Sutta class, following the commentaries of Master Xuanhua. Then after that, we usually will have a 45 minutes of pure awareness-based meditation to train our awareness nature and to stabilize it. And for those who already know how to do it, they can continue with the meditative training to progress further. And after that is the second session, which is usually meditation reporting, followed by whatever question one may have on Q&A session. Then in between the Q&A, you can also share your experience of whatever Dhamma you have encountered. We call it Dhamma in daily life. So that is the summary of what the Sunday class is. Okay, now we start. Part 1, Heart Sutta Lesson 6, Introduction 3, page Romanized 22 to 26 of Master Xuanhua's commentaries. So this is a recap. In the opening commentary on the Heart Sutta, or Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta, Xuanhua stated this. The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta, with verse without a stand and prose commentary, consists of three parts. So the first part is the sutra text itself. Then second part is Venerable Master Xuanhua's verse explanation. Then the third part is the master's lectured commentary on the text and verses. Then here is a summarize of what Master Xuanhua has done for this Heart Sutta. According to Master Xuanhua, this Heart Sutta is an essential summary of the Mahayana Buddhism's teaching on true emptiness. The Heart Sutta is nothing less than a summation of the wisdom of Lord Buddha. It distills perfectly the teaching of non-attachment, which is the doctrine of emptiness. As the Venerable Master Xuanhua said in his commentary, pay attention to this. He said, only the most advanced of masters can expect to grasp the full importance of the sutta by itself, without the aid of a teacher, where this teaching is the heart in the heart, within the heart. It's very true. The Heart Sutta is the perfection of Wisdom Sutta. So if you have not developed a very good understanding of this particular spiritual understanding, there is no way you can expect to grasp the full importance of the sutta, which means it's not easy to teach the sutta. That's why here I mentioned Bertil also concur with Master Xuanhua's statement and also said, at this point, I think once you can do this, you are sure to have the understanding. This Dhamma must be delivered from the heart spontaneously and not through any prior planning via memory. Otherwise, it's only knowledge and not wisdom. So this is where the difference is. Understanding is wisdom, not knowledge. If it's knowledge, it's all held at the brain through memories. But when you understand, you don't have to rely on memory. You can rely on your understanding from the heart. Spontaneously, the understanding can arise. Then we move on to the criteria for translation. So here, Master Xuan Hua has laid out 8 guidelines for his Buddhist Text Translation Society, or BTTS. So the important criteria for translating the Heart Sutta, or Heart of Prajnaparamita Sutta, as adopted by Master Xuan Hua, are the 8 guidelines of his Buddhist Text Translation Society. So the first one is, a volunteer must free himself or herself from the motive of personal fame or profit. Otherwise, you cannot do a proper translation. Then number 2, a volunteer must cultivate a respectful and sincere attitude, free from arrogance and conceit. So this one is also a very important criterion. Then the third one is, a volunteer must refrain from aggrandizing his or her work and denigrating that of others. The fourth criteria is, a volunteer must not establish himself or herself as a standard of correctness and try to suppress the work of others with his or her fault-finding. Then number 5, a volunteer must take the Buddha mind as his or her own mind. Number 6, a volunteer must use the wisdom of Dhamma-selecting vision to determine true principles. So this wisdom of Dhamma-selecting vision is very important. If you don't have the cultivation, you cannot do that. Then number 7 is also very important. A volunteer must request virtuous elders in the 10 directions to certify his or her translation. Then lastly, a volunteer must endeavor to propagate the teachings by printing sutras or shastras texts and Vinaya texts when the translation are certified as being correct. So these are the 8 criteria. When there is condition to share the translated Dhamma, one must share, thus allowing the translation to benefit more living beings. This is what Xuan Hua hold on to as their criteria and principles. Then part 2 was the sharing on that day. So it was based on the Angulimala Sutta, Majjhika Nikaya 86, translated from the Pali text by Thanissaro Bhikkhu. So we will go through the Angulimala Sutta, where this sutta is very useful. So the sutta said, thus have I heard that on one occasion, the blessed one, was staying near Sarvati at Jetagrove, Ananda Pindika's monastery, and at that time, a king, Pasanandi's reign. There was a bandit named Angulimala. He is brutal, bloody-handed, devoted to killing and slaying, show no mercy to living beings. He turned village into non-village, town into non-towns, settled countryside into unsettled countryside, having repeatedly killed human beings. He wore a grand garland. And this one, the translation at that time was Mala. That's why Angulimala. Anguli means finger, made of finger. Mala, garland, made of finger. Then the Blessed One, early in the morning, having put on his robes and carrying out his outer robe and bowl, went into Savatthi for alms. Having wandered for alms in Savatthi and returning from his alms round, after his meal, he set his lodging in order. Carrying his robe and bath, he went along the road where Angulimala was staying. Then the villagers, out of concern, they shouted. Cowherds, shepherds, and farmers saw him going along the road to where Angulimala was staying, and on seeing him, said to him, "Don't go along that road contemplating, for that road is Angulimala. He is brutal, bloody-handed, devoted to killing, slaying, no mercy to living beings. He turned village into non-village, town into non-town, settled countryside into unsettled countryside. Having repeatedly killed human beings, he wore a garland made of fingers. Groups of 10, 20, 30, 40 men had gone along that road, and even they had fallen to Angulimala's hand. When this was said, the Blessed One kept going in silence. Then they repeated a second time, a third time. Then Angulimala saw the Blessed One coming from afar, and on seeing him, this thought occurred to him. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it astounding? Groups of 10, 20, 30, 40 had gone along this road, and even they have fallen into my hand. And yet now this contemplative come attacking, as it were alone and without a companion. Why don't I kill him? So Angulimala, taking up his sword and shed, buckling on his bow and quill, followed right behind the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One wielded a feat of psychic ability or phenomena, such that Angulimala, though running with all his might, could not catch up with the Blessed One walking at normal pace. Then the thought occurred to Angulimala, isn't it strange or amazing? Isn't it astounding? In the past, I have chased and seized even a swift-running elephant, a swift-running horse, a swift-running chariot, a swift-running deer. But now, even though I am running with all my might, I can't catch up with this contemplative walking at normal pace. So he stopped, and he called out to the Blessed One, "Stop, contemplative, stop." The Buddha replied, "I have stopped, Angulimala. It is you who haven't stopped." Then the thought occurred to Angulimala, "These second contemplative are speakers of truth, exerters of truth. And yet this contemplative, even while walking, say, I have stopped, Angulimala. It is you who haven't stopped. Why don't I question him?" So Angulimala, the bandit, addressed this verse to the Blessed One. He said to the Buddha, "While walking contemplative, you say I have stopped. But when I have stopped, you say I haven't. I ask you the meaning of this. How have you stopped? How have I not?" Then the Buddha replied, "I have stopped, Angulimala, once and for all, having cast off violence towards all living beings. You are still unrestrained towards living beings. That's how I have stopped, and you haven't." Then Angulimala, at long last, replied. He said, "At long last, a greatly revered great sage, great sheer, for my sake, has come to this great forest. Having heard your words in line with the Dhamma, I will also abandon all evil. So saying, the bandit hurled his sword and weapon over a cliff into a chasm, a pit. Then the bandit paid homage to the feet of the Blessed One, or One Well Gone, and right there requests the going forth, or to be accepted as an ordained disciple of the Buddha. The Awakened One, the Compassionate Great Seer, the Teacher of the World along with his Devas, said to him then, "Come, Bhikkhu," that in itself was bhikkhuhood for you. Then the Blessed One set out wandering towards Savatthi with Venerable Angulimala as his attendant monk. After wandering by stages, he reached Savatthi, and there he lived near Savatthi in Jeta Grove, Ananda Pindika's monastery. Now at that time, a large crowd of people, loud and noisy, had gathered at the gate of King Pasanandi Kosala's inner palace, calling out, There's a bandit in your ruin, sir, named Angulimala, brutal, bloody-handed, devoted to killing and slaying, show no mercy to living beings. He turns village into non-village, town into non-town, settled countryside into unsettled countryside, having repeatedly killed human beings. He wears a garland made of fingers. The king must stamp him out. Then King Pasanandi of Kosala, with a cavalry of roughly 500 horsemen, drove out to Savatthi and entered the monastery. Driving as far as the ground was possible for chariots, he got down from his chariot and went on foot to the Blessed One. On arrival, having bowed down, he sat to one side. As he was sitting there, the Blessed One said to him, "What is it, great king? Has King Saniya Bimbisara of Magadha promoted you? Or have the Lichavis of Vasali, or some other hostile king?" Then the reply came. He said, "No, the king of Saniya Bimbisara of Magadha hasn't promoted me, nor has the Lichavis of Vasali, nor has some other hostile king. But I was told there is a bandit in my reign, Lord, named Angulimala, brutal, bloody-handed, devoted to killing and slaying, show no mercy to living beings. He has turned village into non-village, town into non-towns, settled countryside into unsettled countryside. Having repeatedly killed human beings, he wears a gun made of fingers. I'm going to stamp him out." "Great king," the Buddha told Pasanandi of Kosala, the king Pasanandi of Kosala, "he said, great king, suppose you were to see Angulimala with his hair, beard shaved, or wearing the robe, having gone from the home line into the homeless line, refrain from killing living being, refrain from taking what is not given, refrain from telling lies, living the holy life of one meal a day, virtuous and of fine character. What will you do to him?" Then surprisingly, the king of Pasanandi, King Pasanandi of Kosala, said, "We would bow down to him, Lord, or rise up to greet him, or offer him a seat, or offer him robes, alms food, lodging, or medical requisite for curing illness. Or we would arrange a lawful guard, protection and defense. But how could there be such a virtuous and restrained in an unvirtuous, evil character?" Now at that time, Venerable Angulimala was sitting not far from the Blessed One. So the Blessed One, pointing with his right arm, said to King Pasenadi of Kosala, "That great king is Angulimala." Then King Pasenadi of Kosala was frightened, terrified. His hair stand on end. So the blessed one, sensing the king's fear and hair raising all, said to him, "Don't be afraid, great king, don't be afraid. He posed no danger to you." Then the king's fear, his terror, his hair standing on end subsided. He went over to Venerable Angulimala and said, "Are you really Angulimala, Lord?" Then Angulimala replied, "Yes, great king. What is your father's clan? What is your mother's clan?" "My father is Gaga, great king, and my mother is Mantani." "Then may Master Gaga Mantani Putta delight in staying here. I will be responsible for your robes, arms, food, lodging, and medical requisite for curing illnesses." Now, it so happened that at that time, Venerable Angulimala was a wilderness dweller, an armed goer, wearing one set of triple robe made of cast of cloth. So he said to King Pasenadi of Kosala, "Enough, great king, my triple robe is complete." So King Pasenadi went to the Blessed One, and on arrival, having bowed down, sat to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to the Blessed One, "It's amazing, Lord. It's astounding how the Blessed One had tamed the untamed, pacified the unpeaceful, and brought into unbinding those who were not unbound. For what would not tame even with blunt or bladed weapon? The Blessed One had tamed without blunt and bladed weapon. Now, Lord, we must go. Many are our duties, many are our responsibility." Then the Buddha said, "Then do, great king. What do you think it is now time to do?" Then King Pasenadi got up from his seat, bow down to the Blessed One, and keeping him to his right, departed. Then Venerable Angulimala, early in the morning, having put on his robe and carrying his outer robe and bow, went to Savati for alms. As he was going from home to home for alms, he saw a woman suffering a breech burst. On seeing her, the thought occurred to him, How tormented are living beings. Then, having wandered for alms in Savati and returning from his alms round, arrived after his meal, he went to the Blessed One. On arrival, having bowed down to the Buddha, he sat to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to the Blessed One, "Just now, Lord, early in the morning, having put on my clothes and carrying out my outer robe and bowl, I went to Savati for alms. As I was going from home to home for alms, I saw a woman suffering a breech burst. On seeing her, the thought occurred to me, How tormented are living beings. Then the Buddha said to Angulimala, "In that case, Angulimala, go to that woman." And on arrival, said to her, "Sister, since I was born, I do not recall intentionally killing a living being. Through this truth, may there be well-being for you, well-being for your fetus." "But Lord," Angulimala said, "wouldn't that be a lie for me? For I have intentionally killed many living beings before." Then in that case, Angulimala, go to the woman, and on arrival, say to her, "Sister, since I was born in a noble birth," means after he determined to follow the Buddha and go for ordination, "I do not recall intentionally killing a living being. By the power of this truth, may there be well-being for you, well-being for your fetus. Responding, Angulimala said, as you said, Lord, to the Blessed One, Angulimala went to the woman, and an arrival said to her, sisters, since I was born in the noble birth, I do not recall intentionally killing a living being. Through this, may there be well-being for you, well-being for your fetus. And there was well-being for both the woman and well-being for her fetus. That's why this Angulimala Sutta become very famous. So a lot of people have faith in this sutta, where it invoked the power of truth. Then Angulimala, Venerable Angulimala, dwelling alone, secluded, heedful, ardent, and resolute, in no long time reach and remain in the supreme goal of the holy life, for which cleansmen rightfully go forth from home into homeless, knowing and realizing it for himself in the here and the now. He knew birth is ended, the holy life fulfilled, task done. There is no further, there is nothing further for the sake of this world. And thus Venerable Angulimala became another one of the Arahants when he realized Arahantship. Then Venerable Angulimala early in the morning put on his robe and carrying his outer robe and bath, went into Savatthi for alms. Now at that time, a cloth thrown by one person hit Venerable Angulimala on the body. A stone thrown by another hit him on the body. And a pot thrown by still another hit him on the body. So Venerable Angulimala, his head broken up and dripping with blood, his bow broken, and his outer robe ripped to shred, went to the Blessed One. The Blessed One saw him coming from afar, and on seeing him, said to him, bear with it, Brahman, bear with it. The fruit of karma that would have burned you in hell for many, many years, many hundred years, many thousand years, you are now experiencing in the here and the now. Then Venerable Angulimala, having gone alone into seclusion, experienced the bliss of release. At that time he exclaimed, who once was heedless, but later is not, brightens the world like the moon, set free from a cloud. His evil dandy is replaced with skillfulness. He brightens the world like the moon set free from the cloud. Whatever young monk devotes himself to the Buddha's abiding, he brightens the world with the moon set free from the cloud. So this is a Dhammapada saying. The reason why this sutta is very unique, special, and important is you look at the sutta, it's a story of Angulimala, who is brutal, violent, and he killed so many. He almost killed 1,000, to be correct. It was 999. The last one, actually, according to the commentaries, he has a choice to either kill the mother who was there, or later he saw the Buddha coming. That's why he chose to go after the Buddha instead of the mother. And that was the reason why the Buddha went there. Because the Buddha actually every morning surveyed the world and can foresee that this thing is coming. And there is condition to help Angulimala. That's why he went that way. And the uniqueness of this story is when the Buddha went there, then Angulimala thought, how strange such a being is it? Means he's a contemplative, a monk, who actually trying to seek answer to life and other things. Not a fighter, tame contemplative, dare to go the way where he has killed so many people. Even the group of 10, 20, 30, also they couldn't escape from him. Then he decided to go after the Buddha. But because of the Buddha's ability to give rise to that psychic ability to make sure that Angulimala does not catch up with him while walking. So Angulimala actually can sense already. Then Angulimala decided to shout out to the Buddha, contemplative, he said. He said, "Stop, contemplative, stop." Then the Buddha replied while walking, he said, "I have stopped long ago. It is you who have not stopped." So Angulimala was thinking, the Sakya family, the contemplative means the Buddha at that time was famous for his words. He never lied. Then he decided to question the Buddha. He said, "Stop." He said, "How can you say while walking you have stopped? And when I have decided to stop to shower at you, you say I haven't stopped. I want to understand why you say that." It's indirectly like telling the Buddha, for the first time, the Sakya contemplative lie. But the Buddha replied beautifully, he said. He said, "Angulimala." He said, "When I say I have stopped, means I have long ago stopped killing, stop violence, stop causing harm to fellow living being. But you, physically you have stopped, but your violence, your brutalness, you have not stopped." Then upon hearing that, because this Angulimala actually is quite wise, but because of karmic past, he followed a wrong teacher who also have a intend to like take revenge on him because of something. And that was the story I heard from Reverend Suwano in the early 80s, I think, or 90s. So because of that, he was told by the teacher, he said, "You can kill 1,000 people and bring their fingers to him, then he can teach him the way to realize enlightenment," something to that effect. And he was so naive and sincere, that's why he followed that instruction. Then not until when he saw what happened when he chased after the Buddha, the Sakya and contemplative, then he realized the strange phenomena that he knew. Who would have taken the trouble to risk his life to come all the way to his dwelling to let him kill? And yet when he tried, run with his mind, he couldn't even keep up with the Buddha's walking footsteps. He knew something very exceptional has happened. That's why he straight away proclaimed and thanked the Buddha. "At last," he said, "a great share has appeared out of love and compassion for him to come and save him." That's why he decided to surrender himself and take refuge under the Buddha and follow him. So that was one of the great story. But not only that, after he became an ordained disciple of the Buddha, he actually was abused. But initially it was not that serious because he was protected by the Buddha, and the king, Pasenadi of Kosala, also over there to actually find out what happened. Then finally everything settled down. That's why he was able to continue with his monk's ordination life. Then he became enlightened. He realized Arandashi. But then the moment he realized Arandashi, the karmic past has to surface. Because once you become an Arahant, you will no longer take birth, rebirth after that, unless you take the Bodhisattva way. So what happened was, this karmic retribution has to happen. That's why it triggered off the causes and conditions for him to be harmed and wounded. Then when he was bleeding, he went towards the Buddha and like wanted to inform the Buddha the situation and all those things. Then the Buddha told him, he said, "Oh Brahman, you must patiently endure. Because this is the replacement of your karmic retribution. Otherwise you would have suffer in hell for many, many years or long period. Yeah? And that hell suffering is a lot worse. Yeah? So because of that, Angulimala endure and pass away peacefully, realizing cessation of form and mind, became an Arahant. Because he's an Arahant, that's why he can actually cease and free. So the story here is the Dhammapadas were saying that no matter how evil you are in the past, as long as you determine to change over from heedless to heedfulness, from heedlessness to heedfulness, it's like the moon surface from the cloud and shine brightly. So this is how you will develop the faith. Don't always say, "Oh, this spiritual path is not for me. Well, I have a lot of evil karma. I have a lot of evil negativity of karmic or whatever." You can ask yourself, are you as evil and as brutal as Angulimala? Even Angulimala, in that state of mind, that birth, can also transform, turn around, and become an Arahant. So, as long as there is this understanding to change, the determination to change, great things are possible. So, that's the reason why I say this Angulimala Sutta is very unique. Yeah? So, bear in mind, yeah? Then how it invoked the power of truth. Is it ever seen? He was born into the noble birth, means after he received ordination, he cannot recall having any intention to kill or harm. And by the power of that truth, he invoked power of truth, and it became very powerful. That's why the lady that was having the bridge birth was able to deliver successfully both the mother and the child. Both safely delivered. So when we learn the Dhamma, we develop such understanding that will give faith to devotees, to cultivators of the way, so that they will not deludedly believe their thoughts because of certain things that they have done in the past. They dare not strive on, they dare not change. They have this thought due to karmic obstruction that blind them or obstruct them, saying, "This way is not for me, well, I cannot. I'm a terrible person," and all those things. So all these are deluded thinking, heedless deluded thinking, not truth that can be developed and understood. So this Angulimala Sutta stand out as a very important sutta for many cultivators of the way. They have already like given up hope of possibility of salvation for themselves. So this can actually act as a very important sutta to turn things around. Okay, so we will move on. Second part is more interesting. Pain in the leg during meditation. So this one, I think a lot of meditator or so-called cultivator of the way face this type of problem during meditation. So there was a question by one of the devotees of Kayamita. He said, while sitting in half lotus for some time, the pain of the leg becomes unbearable. And then when I started to chant, the original pain ceases. But a more severe pain arises in another part of the leg. Then the question, why? So my reply, you listen. First, you must understand what meditation is and what you are doing in the name of meditation means your purpose and intent. If you are not clear about this, you cannot meditate correctly or efficiently. So I mention here, if you don't have such an understanding, then there is this tendency to react to unpleasant sensation or feeling that arise during meditation, then thereby labeling it as pain. As we all know, pain is an aversion or an ill will. So ill will is one of the mental hindrance of mind that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. As such, you are already caught or trapped by such labeling. Because of your dislike towards that unpleasant sensation, your mind will try to do something else, like chanting, to either suppress it or make it go away. As chanting is just another skillful means to train the mind, and it is still within the field of thought. Hence, by doing so, you have lost your focus, because meditation consists of two parts. The first step, or first part, is to develop the training of the mind to be constantly aware, leading to heedfulness, so that focus must not be lost. Then the second step, or second part, is to use that trained mind to meditate or cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Understanding this will enable you to just silence your mind and patiently relax your body and mind to allow the sensation to be without any like or dislike for that sensation. Where it is of the nature of this body to develop that sensation, if you do not know how to relax and enable the qi to flow through the blockage at your cross leg, then when you are able to understand this and endure and allow the sensation to be without labeling it, then there is no mental hindrance. Then what happens is, when there is no mental hindrance to disturb you, then your sati, which is mindfulness, will take over. And this can result in a shift of consciousness to cease the so-called painful sensation. So just be aware or mindful. Always maintain awareness to observe what is going on within your form and mind, and to investigate via mindfulness to understand how the movement of mind from one state to another comes to be. That is to understand how the stirring of the mind comes to be, and how the mind can be conditioned into negativity, emotion, selfishness, and fear, etc. via delusion or security, self-delusion, upon seeing something or hearing something or thinking of something. So this is mindfulness. Eh? When you have developed mindfulness, then you can see clearly the movement. Mm. Then under the teaching, 3.2, there are five ways to overcome negative, unwholesome thought. Means the wrong thought, like painful feeling, aversion, ill will, anger, hatred, jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety. All these are unwholesome thoughts, thoughts with evil roots. So the Buddha taught actually five ways to the cultivator of the way, how we can overcome unwholesome thought. That's why in the teaching, we are taught the four right effort. The first right effort is the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that has arisen. Once it has arisen, you have to abandon it. So that is the first right effort. You have to work towards that. And how to overcome or abandon the unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is to understand these five ways that the Buddha has taught, especially the first four. Then you can actually do it. So now I will go through the five ways to overcome negative or unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. First is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Take for example, if there is anger in you, deep resentment in you, then develop loving kindness. Or if there is cruelty, then develop compassion. And if there is fear, develop faith. So all these are skillful means, or what the Buddha said, you can only do one thing at a time. When you have metta in your mind state, you cannot get angry. Then it's only when you do not understand what is going on, then you continue to allow the wrong thought to condition your negative emotion. That's how your wrong thought, your negative unwholesome thought arises. So when you understand all this, you can use your understanding to reverse them all. That's why loving kindness or metta is a good way to overcome anger, hatred, emotion, and all those things. So when you radiate metta very often, your mind state pervades the world, and the 10 benefits of metta cultivation will protect you. So the first way, although is effective, but it is still thought-based. What I mean is, whenever you have a problem like anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, or fear, then you have to find yourself a quiet place, settle down, and think of the direct opposite thought. Then what happens is, after that, maybe you become peaceful, like your metta take over, then gone. But then you have not developed the wisdom to free from those unwholesome thoughts or negative thoughts, like anger, hatred. Then in future, when you encounter similar situation, you again get angry, become emotional, fearful, greedy, selfish. So it's just a temporary thought-based approach, the first way. Then the Buddha introduced the second way to overcome unwholesome thought. He said, contemplate into it, reflect into it. Think of the consequence of holding on to the unwholesome thought or evil roots that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So what happens is, if you do not abandon them, then the evil roots, which are the roots of all evil, will condition you to become an evil person. For example, anger can condition you into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, harm, and abuse others. Is that what you want? This is negativity or karma. So when you think of the consequence or danger of holding on to that wrong thought, then it will immediately allow you to have the understanding to abandon it. Then you will determine to abandon it. So through understanding, you can abandon it. Yeah. But this understanding is not the complete understanding. This understanding is only understanding the danger or consequence of having that wrong thought or negative thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion in you, and how it can cause evil consequence, yeah, that lead to negativity or karma. So both first and second way are still thought-based approach, which is not a permanent fix. Yeah. Then there is a third way that the Buddha taught. This third way is the meditative approach. This one is a permanent fix. But this one also, unless you have your past cultivation, after you develop it, you will awaken to it and understand it. Otherwise, you have to go for the fourth way. The third and the fourth way is a complete solution to all negativity of mind state or wrong thought. So the third way, the Buddha said, no need to do anything. No need to fight the emotion. Because according to the Buddha, anger is not you. Hatred is not you. Fear is not you. These are mind state that arise through causes and conditions. They are dependent originating. They are not intrinsic within your nature. They come and they go. Through understanding, they will cease. So what the Buddha said is, if they are not intrinsic within your nature, then what is your nature? Your nature is pure awareness without thought. So why not stay with your nature? Then whatever that is not within the nature will cease. That's how he teach. So the third way, he just advised the monk, relax and maintain awareness. We are just letting things be. Means let it be. So when you are able to let things be, then there is no more wrong thought, no more wrong negativity of mind state to condition that evil thought to continue to manifest. And due to that, you can observe clearly how that emotion that arises through wrong thought ceases when the causes and condition is no more there. So relax and maintain awareness. We are just let things be. And this is the meditative way born of wisdom that understand the natural state of mind before the stirring. It's already the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and silent inner awareness. And the flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. So this natural state of mind refers to our true mind, the silent mind, before thought arises. Before the conditioning, the activity of mind, the sankhara movement arise. So when you can stay within, that's why relaxation and maintaining awareness, the first two support is very important. Then the third support is to stabilize the awareness nature so that you stay with the true mind. You do not get lost in the thinking mind. And without wisdom, the thinking mind become heedless. It entangle itself and become heedless. And it will condition negativity of mind state, thereby entangling the living beings. So this third way is the easiest and the best. So when you stay with it, means when you are angry, emotional, or when you will have fear, you try it. Silence your mind completely and stay with the emotion. Whether it's an anger or fear or whatever, stay with it. No thought, nothing, stay with it. Makes the awareness and the thing as one. And then you see what happens. Then like I said, the natural state of mind before the stirring is already the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and silent inner awareness. And the flowering of that emotion or thought is the very ending of that thought. Then you realize all of a sudden your mind state at the heart there become very still, very quiet, very peaceful. And the whole emotion is gone. Then you realize this is your original mind, your true mind, your silent inner awareness, which is tranquil, still, peaceful. And then when you realize this mind, then you realize the original state, which is anger or hatred or emotion, which can be fear or whatever, they are not intrinsic. They come and they go. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. That's why don't be deluded. Anger is not you. Fear is not you. All the emotion that arise, they are not you. So do not be foolish by saying that after meditating for so many years, I still have fear, I still have anger, I still have hatred, I still have selfish. That is delusion. They were never you in the first place. But to realize that, you must develop this third way. That's why sati is very important. Mindfulness is very important. Without sati, without mindfulness, you cannot realize this beautiful understanding. To realize this beautiful understanding, you must relax and maintain awareness. Means be with it, stay with that activity or emotion. Silence your mind, develop the awareness of it, and let the awareness stay with it. When the awareness and the phenomena become one, there is no thought to allow it to continue to proliferate and stir and move. And then, the very flowering of that thought or emotion is the very ending of that emotion. Then you see how it ceases. Then you realize, this was not intrinsic in our true nature, our true mind. This is dependent originating emotion that arises through wrong thought, wrong view, wrong understanding. That's how you're free. And the third way is the most beautiful. Then when you realize it for maybe one major occasion, then the understanding is very penetrative. Then in future, you don't worry about anger, hatred, fear. You just stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Then it ceases. Then the understanding will stabilize. Then you realize all these are dependent originating, condition arising, the paticca-samuppada that the Buddha taught. You start to see them because you already developed mindfulness, awareness. When you are aware, you can understand. When you are not aware, you are lost in thought. You use the thought to reason, to rationalize. To actually analyze, all this will not give rise to understanding. It will lead to more entanglement. Well, these are all thought-based, knowledge-based. Then after the third way, the Buddha continued to actually allow you to develop the wisdom. He said you must continue to be mindful to trace the origination factor of the unwholesome thought and then retrospectively reverse it via the cultivation of mindfulness of Dhamma under the fourth foundation of mindfulness, Dhammanupassana. Third category of practice, that is, we are cultivating the mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to free. So in the Dhammanupassana, third category of practice, It is mentioned clearly how you can do it. But the first category of practice also mentioned about the mental hindrance. He said, when you continue to maintain mindfulness, you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. Means you can trace it, how they arise, like sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, doubt. So when you silence your mind, then you realize before they arrive, there was nothing, peaceful. Then through one of your senses, you realize, either when you see something, hear something, smell something, tactile, feel something, or through the thought process, recall something. Then the mind will stir and react. Then sensual desire, ill will, and the other mental hindrance, they come to be. And then you can know how the unarisen sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind or doubt, the five mental hindrance comes to be. It's through your senses, through your wrong view, wrong understanding, and you react to it and you stir. Through your habitual tendency, through your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, your belief system, your conditioning, your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, all this which you accumulate in the brain, the memory. So when you trace the origination factor already, then you continue to maintain mindfulness or awareness. Then you realize it sees like the third way. Then you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. Then you continue to train along this line. Then you will start to see how the Paticca Samuppada, the law of dependent origination, arise and pass away. And how all these are dependent originating, condition arising phenomena. No reality, not a permanent unchanging entity. He know you, he know me. And then you will awaken. Then through all this understanding, the Buddha said, finally you will come to know how in the future there will be no more arising of this mental hindrance, because you have already understood them. The wisdom is already there. So this is how Dhamma Nupassana is to be cultivated, to develop the wisdom. And the fifth way is not important, but the Buddha still mentioned it. So the Buddha said, if all the above four ways also cannot help you, then there is only one way out, he said. You must use your own self-determination as recommended by the Buddha. So the Buddha said, with clenched teeth, means you determine seriously, and with your tongue against your palate, you should determine strongly to abandon that negative thought. In our Chinese dialect, the Hokkien tradition, ka liao ge kin, ngao jing a kan in Cantonese, you must determine to abandon it. So to me, to say it in another way is, like I used to tell Kayamita, if the above four ways that the Buddha has taught you also cannot help you, then you have to do it yourself already. He cannot help you anymore. It's bye-bye to you. Because this sheer determination, unless you really have that understanding, very difficult to do. Even if you do, maybe that time you're free, you can abandon it. But then, it is not a permanent fix. It does not give you the wisdom to allow you to have the understanding to overcome them in the future. So to me, the third and the fourth way are the most effective way. And these are wisdom way, meditative way. The first two are okay, but thought based, not a permanent fix, but a temporary, a temporary way out of that negative mind state. Maybe for new practitioner, it may be useful to them. But as you advance in your cultivation, the third way has to be developed. And of course, the fourth way will follow. So the third and the fourth way is what you need to develop. Okay, we move on. Oh, we finished. Just nice. Okay, so we will stop here and mark this page. Always remember the four support to develop awareness-based meditation. Relax, maintain awareness, then silence your mind completely. Don't try to know, don't try to do. Maintain the awareness. Stabilize it. The beginning of true meditation only arrives after you can stabilize your inner awareness. Otherwise, all the things you do is still thought-based. It's still not awareness-based. That's why sati is very important. You must develop the stability of its inner awareness until it stabilizes and becomes heedfulness. Means you are mindful and heedful throughout the day, most of the time. Means your daily mindfulness stabilizes. And you are most of the time aware, mindful, heedful. And use it to cultivate. The meditation as taught by the Buddha means develop the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is basically Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. So the Noble Eightfold Path starts with right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then constantly arising the four right effort, which are very important. Then, of course, developing the four foundation of mindfulness, sati, stabilizing it until it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is a collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, so now we'll continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A, whatever question you may have regarding the meditation, the teaching, and also any experience that you have regarding Dhamma in daily life. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody wants to come in, you can come in and share. Report meditation or ask any question or discuss today's topic.
Hello, Brother. This is still an Okalamita.
Yeah.
Thank you for Ching for not meeting me.
Yeah.
Yeah. 真的很不容易，因为
对
这个行程很紧凑，而且
对
我们大多数都有一点点年纪，所以
对，
那我的感觉是我们去这一趟五台山很不容易，就是很感恩，因为觉得哇，我们很难得才能来到这个地方，
对，
所以我心里面感到很多的感恩。
啥的。
还有就是在我们在五台山这几天的行程里面，感觉有点很紧凑和好像有一点点的很怎样讲，就是很紧张了。说每一天我们回去都感觉很累，所以都特别的好睡。在我们的行程里面，所有的点点滴滴，我们的所有的团队的团友的大家的交流和什么，我都觉得很难得这样。
It's like meant to be, and everything just fall into place. 那个是最unique 的，因为 just like what I explained before, when causes and conditions is such, things will move by itself. 所以就好像我们第一天到了五台山，although the schedule were all, like what Sister Alicia mentioned, it was quite tight actually. And every day, like we walk a lot, and we visit many places. Then, of course, we do it mindfully too. Then develop the awareness, the faith, and the understanding. But then, when it arises, certain causes and conditions, especially the first temple that we really visit at Da Tong, I think the Huayan Si, the temple is very special, very unique, the nature, everything, and the weather condition all they fall into place, then everything is like meant to be, and all Kayamita benefited. Even the sister Linda, the one that took us around, the China Taoyuan, she also can feel that at that place, the nature is very quiet, very still, and she felt the peace when she was there. Then she liked to visit that temple. Then, of course, there are other temples that are more of culture, nature, and related to emperors and not so much of cultivation like the hanging temple and all those things. But then when we reached Wu Tai Sun that night, we had a good dinner, then we had a good rest. Then the next morning, supposed to start our hectic visit to many of the peaks, Pei Tai and Tong Tai. But then, because of the weather, it was raining. So the transport cannot be arranged because they only allow their own van to go up. So, because of that, there were circumstances that forced our Taoyuan to change the schedule of our program. We need to shift all the program that we're supposed to have that day to the next day because of the weather and the unavailability of the vehicle. Then, like I mentioned, whatever that is of the nature to arise, is of the nature to manifest the reality. So the reality is such. That's why when they approached me and told me, very sorry, relative, we need to change the program and itinerary so as to suit the situation. I said, no problem. This is what Dhamma is. We have to accord and flow. We have to accord and flow. And whatever that arise initially may appear to be something not so conducive, but it's meant to be, will be. That it really turned out to be beautiful. Because after the transporting cannot be arranged, so we got to revert back to our original bus schedule. Then we move the program backward one day. Then we take the last 2 day program forward at Wu Tai Sun forward. And that was meant to be. Where all those places that we are going to visit They are nearby. No need to go to the peak. And they are very, very beautiful, conducive, and meant to be. Because the weather after the rain that day, that was the only day it rained. And it rained in such a manner that the transport cannot be arranged. Then after that, the weather transformed and become like very conducive. It was like a heavenly setting with a lot of clouds, very misty. Then light it drizzled. And everywhere we go, all the temple we visit, the first few happen to be Kuan Yin Temple. And Kuan Yin like this type of setting. Then we met up with a lot of very unexpected thing. One of the Kuan Yin Temple abbot also came out and received us and talked to us and share a lot of things with us. That's how everything happened. Then many other very conducive things also take place. Then because of that, the next day onward, everybody thought, oh, if that day rained, the next few days might be rain too. But surprisingly, after that, every day was blue sky, sunny, and very beautiful and meant to be. Then when we were there, a lot of things happened, especially at the two peak, Zhongtai and Nantai. Very beautiful nature's occurrences happened. The weather was so conducive, so beautiful. And especially at Zhongtai, the monk, you remember, he can sense, and he said, this very unique happening, he said, the weather phenomena is very strange, he said, very abnormal, but for a good reason. And he also knows it's very auspicious, and he wonder what happened, how come such manifestation of weather and nature's occurrences occur, and that day was blue sky, and at that altitude, almost 3,000 meter higher, no wind. No, normally it's very windy at Zhongtai. When we were there, it can blow you away. That's why you can be moved by the wind. It's very strong wind and very cold. But that day, it was really bright, sunny blue sky, and the monk knew. Then when he saw us, he inquired where were we from. He said, "No wonder, is it? Oh, you are the one." Then we were the only group there, and it's like everything fall into place. Then he volunteered to took us around, and a lot of strange thing happened. Then he also had the experience of helping some Kayamita to take the photo of the sun's phenomena and manifestation. He says such auspicious activity or movement can only happen when everything fall into place. It shows and points towards a very like auspicious event. Then he let us do a lot of strange thing. Light incense for us, they offer us all the candle or everyone to offer at a special place, then advise us to visit the 500 Arahant hall where the relics are all there. Then he also show us a place where they kept a very specially kept relics, very big, very rare. And he share with us and bless everybody, all Kayamita. Then he was full of joy, of course. Then we can feel the stillness of energy there. Very strange, very still. You just have to silence your mind. Within 1 2 seconds, you went in and you can detect the stillness, the tranquility, that nature there. It is very conducive and supportive of our two minds nature, and you can settle down and merge with the environment very fast. That's why that heart there, the nature for those who are sensitive, they can feel that. And all this just fall into place. Then when we were at Nan Tai also, a lot of beautiful chanting, a lot of beautiful vibration. Then the whole sky also, the cloud formation, is very unique. And we managed to take a lot of very beautiful photos. Then, like, all this itinerary, the shifting and the changing are like meant to be. Then we make some very good decision. We cut short a lot of things. Then we finish off the last day at Wu Tai San, just left with one itinerary. Then we decide to go straight to Tai Yuan early. Oh, luckily we went there early. The food was good. The hotel was good, conducive, and we had a good rest there. Then we stay there. Then after Tai Yuan, of course, the next few visit was not really anything related to spiritual, but it's more like sightseeing, visit the museum and all those things. Of course, we also have a nice experience at Tai Yuan, that one street where we go and do some shopping and walk around the street food and all those things. Then we also get to know a lot of history behind Tai Yuan. Our guide Linda was from Tai Yuan, and she has been in this tour business for the last 22 years, since 2002. And her English was good, perfect. That's why all this fall into place. Then on our way back also, the high-speed train experience and all the good condition that allow us to finally reach Beijing. Although we reached late, by the time we reached the hotel, almost 10:30. But it was a very nice hotel. And the breakfast that next morning, although short, was very good. And then we move on to the airport, which is just 5-10 minutes away. And the whole trip concluded successfully, and we had a very good, we should say, a very rich and inspiring, with a lot of faith and understanding, spiritual trip that enabled us to have two very good sharing, which Jinhao has actually developed the video. And he has finally added in some of the thing through some minor editing to express the meaning clearer, where he captured some of the shot and he put it in the background so that those who are not there, you can understand what we meant by those at Zhongtai, how actually when we went in to the main hall, Da Xiong Bao Tian, before we reached there, all the heavenly beings, like the devis or the singer, they were built by the temple people, and the manifestation was so beautiful, and the weather, everything was so conducive, and everything just for the place, the nature, the setting. So these were the beautiful aspect of the spiritual trip that we managed to accomplish and develop the understanding. And this is how all this can be understood when you have the faith, when you have the correct cultivation and understanding, and wherever you go. In fact, all our spiritual trip, they end up very beautifully. And it's like meant to be. So like Alicia shared some, which is also very beautiful. And even a lot of other Kayamita, I think, Bocheng joined us for the first time. She also felt very good. Of course, there were other Kayamita, like MBA, they all, and even the new one, this Xiaoling, MBA's good friend. She also felt very good. And Casey and Tracy also, they enjoyed themselves. And Sister Anne, Li Hun, and many other 可以明白是一万 brother song，然后BG although BG got some bus sickness and honestly but nevertheless she enjoyed the trip and also Man Yuan. Then we also have brother Pang. I think he was also there. Then of course Pujing's sister Han. So there's a total of 23 of us plus Mr. Er 24, then plus Linda 25. So the whole trip was really memorable and amazingly, spiritually, very I should say very meaningful and of course beautiful in its own amazing way. Oh, okay, Alicia, sorry. You should continue.
Yeah, but 对我而言，这一次的 spiritual trip 是很圆满的，很想就是很，我觉得很非常的 wonderful，因为despite 你看起来好像没有什么，但是你可以从中的学习到很多，你
对，
也看很多从中就是 Mr. 二跟 Linda 怎么样的用心的去。尽量的把我们照顾得好，让我，对，我感觉到很感动。
对，
还有
even a lot of thing never plan, it just unfold. 好像 Pamasuri the birthday, actually it was not planned, the schedule or not there, but it just fall into place and unfold. And Mr. Suddenly willing to like make it so grand. Although it doesn't cost him much, but at least he take the effort to hire the two singer, you remember? It's like a private band. But we only need to actually buy some flowers and request some songs, and they are willing to sing for us. And that whole event was very memorable, joyful, especially for Brother Timo and Sister Padmasuri. Then, like Sister Padmasuri mentioned, he never told her, and nobody knew until that day itself. So, all these are meant to be, they even fall into place. Then we had a lot of fun, actually. The singers were good. And I like the meaningful song that they sang. Chao Bai Wu Tai San, very meaningful. Like Padmasuri mentioned, Ba Xing Fu Tai Hui Jia, then don't know what marriage for the parents. So very beautiful. And all those who went to Wu Tai San, they have faith on them. And like I mentioned, the whole Wu Tai San, the Manjusri Bodhisattva, Ven Su Pusa, the nature's energy is very strong and is pervading in the whole of that area. And a certain area is extraordinarily tranquil and still. That's why people have a lot of faith, and a lot of people go there. They have faith and they actually develop the what they call faith to not only go there, perform wholesomeness, merits, and cultivate affinity with Vensu Pusa. And many monks and cultivators of the way, including Xu Yun and many famous monks, they have good encounter and story about Wu Tai San. That's why this way place is very unique. 15 years ago, I went there, I already felt that nature's energy is very different. That's why, because of course, the condition, I'm willing to take you all for the second time. And we met that monk that I met 15 years ago at Zhongtai Terrace. That monk is very cute and very, I should say, well cultivated in the sense that he can understand a lot of things and he has the Dhamma. That's why when we ask him, he has been there for how long? He said 15 to 16 years. And Yu Chan went with me the first trip, which was 2009. You minus 2024 is exactly 15 years. And he was there actually 1 year earlier. Then when I was there, I met him. And he talked to me. And that time I can sense he's a good monk. And I was surprised when I was there. He was the one that greeted us and the one that knew that something is happening because of the weather. Is it 今天的天气, 很神奇, 很不一样, means it's meant to be. Yeah, Alicia, yes, continue, yeah.
Radio, talking about 我们回到去，其实我们回到要回到去太原的时候，不是到最后一站，我们有去一个叫崇善
啊，
寺。崇
对，
善，actually，在我们还没有去到太原的时候的前一天，我早上起来就是看电话的时候就谷歌到这一个崇善寺，但是。我不懂为什么，我好像很想去这个崇善寺。
OK
然后，因为我很想去，然后我就在吃早餐的时候就问 Mr. 二，可以跟你讲一句话吗？看
啊，
是不在 itinerary 里面的，你就不要跟我讲。然后我就，
哈
那我就讲 OK 啦，那就没 condition 去了哈。然后我
哈，呀，
就没有再去讲这么多，但是。到第二天，我还是很想去，就说，在我们去那个步行街的里面有，因为它很靠近嘛，所以我就想，
对。
那我怎样的可以自己去嘛？这样子就5点钟就起来谷歌做功课看怎么样去，然后后来看看一下就好像没有 condition，然后我就放弃了，然后我讲应该是没有 condition 去了，那就没事了，就不去。然后等一下，等到吃饭还是吃饭前还是吃饭后，琳达就说给我们去。然
哦，
后我，
是咯，因为有时间嘛，
然后我的心
，enough
里面
time
是，
了。
其实我心里面是很高兴的，但是他又高兴不起来。然后就当我们 approaching 那个崇善寺的时候。我的心里面在 vibrating，好像就好像这间寺庙，我好像有很多的法喜在里面。
对，
然后等到我走进去的时候，他们说不能看不到那个
呀呀，因为 renovation 盖旧
对，但是
啊。
despite 我没有看到那个文殊菩萨哦，但是
对，
哦。我在周围看了一下之后，我有一个说不出的感觉在心里面，好像就好像有一股 energy 在那边 moving 这样。
哦，沙丘，
然
很
后
好。
after that，我又讲不出来，又好像要哭又哭不出来，我们就很快就上车了嘛，走回去的
呀，
时候。
对，
然后当我站在那边的时候，埋怨跟我讲话我就。不能搭塔，因为我好像在里面定下来一样。
对，
我搭塔，然后我就觉得，后来我就觉得我的 dog say，哎呀，你很没有礼貌这样子。但是我就没有啊。然后摆摊，我上车的时候就感觉很像很爱睡，就好像我平时爱 meditate 的
Miss
感
E want you to meditate，
觉。对，然后我就静下来，然后就去meditation 这样子。然后过了一阵子之后，其实那个时间是非常的短，因为很靠近步行街的嘛。但是他
对，
在我 meditation 那个时候就我的那个 area 那边一直开，一直开，一直
哦，
开，
沙丘，
一直开，开到没有 boundary 去，你知道没有？
哦，沙丘，the
开
oneness
到没有
experience，
boundary 没有 boundary 去之后呢？对，我就好像什么都没有了，连这个身体也没有掉了。但
沙丘。
我就好像睡了一睡掉这样，
啊，
我也
睡了一阵子这样，
对睡了。然后当我出回来的时候他们讲到了，然后我就慢慢的出回来，但是
哦，沙丘，哇，
根本
很
我
好啊
没有
，Miss
去
也跟那边有感应啊，
reflect。对，
那
对。
wonder 我到那边，我看到那个我，南无大慈大悲观世音菩萨，big letter 的 whole world。So when I saw that, I knew something is happening, but I don't know what it is because I don't have this, what they call cultivation that enable me to have the psychic. I cannot touch psychic, but I can sense that word has its meaning. And why they spend so much effort writing all those big characters, over the entire boundary entrance there, which is I think about 100 feet long. And that one gave me very good what they call like understanding that this place is meant to be. Although it's under renovation, we can't see much. But the two side at the side there are two building where there is some images inside that. But the original one under renovation, that one we cannot see. But if you can develop the affinity with the energy there and go through that experience and transformation, means it's meant to be. That's why it can happen. It can happen. So salute to you. Normally, like you say, for Mr. If it's not in the itinerary, unless like he explained, he can fit in or what, they will try to. Otherwise, they cannot do anything that is not part of our itinerary. But like we say, a lot of things depend on our sensitivity. If our nature have the understanding, if it's meant to be, it will be, then it will unfold and we will be there. So now that you explain what happened to you, I start to understand why that thing can happen. Normally, like I told my daughter and my wife, I say, if it's not in the itinerary, if you all will come and ask me, I say, don't trouble yourself to go. But this one, somehow, it didn't come to me, And among you all arrange. Then last minute only I come to know that we are going there. See? Although I received your WhatsApp the morning before. So I just let things be. I say, whatever it is, if it's meant to be, will be. So it unfolds. That's why nature has its own beautiful way of unfolding things. Sadhu, 很好啊。
Yeah, bro, 就 actually 在这个过程里面，我所学习到的是，有些事不能勉强，
对，不能勉
有些
强的，
要顺其
just
自
let
然，
things be accord
对，
and
要
flow，
顺其自然，因为当你放下的时候，你不去执着的时候，它又 manifest
它就
来给
现
你
出
看，
来，
对，所以这个因缘法真的不容易。
That's why I say the final wisdom understanding is to understand causes and conditions, 因缘法。That's why the Diamond Sutta, the famous stanza, it start with 一切有为法. If you can understand that stanza, 一切有为法 means you understand 因缘法. And 因缘法 is what nature's conditions and manifestation are. Things is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. 从一个 stanza 一个 statement，the wisdom behind is very very profound. So now more and more of Kayamita, like Alicia, and many others, you all will start to develop the understanding of what Yinyanfa is all about. What the true Dhamma manifestation and unfolding basing on causes and conditions. It's all about the ultimate wisdom is to understand yin and yang. That's why the law of dependent origination or paticca-samuppada, si er yin yang, that one is the most powerful Dhamma. When you see that, awaken to that, then to stabilize the understanding and to make it a part of your nature to understand this Dhamma is not easy. You have to go through many phases of stability or understanding to enable your nature to manifest that understanding. That's why I realized from my past I already developed it. That's why this life I come many segmented are in this life. Like I say, I didn't do anything. Everything just arise and happen, and I just accord and flow. Like everything is already pre-arranged, pre-planned through the understanding and everything. That's why our latest book, I mentioned that. When it come out, I think it's going to be ready soon, huh? And it will mesh with our retreat in 2 months' time, which is, I think, August, huh? End of August. Huh? So during that time, huh, that book will go through. And it will give rise to a lot of understanding and faith to Kayamita. Then from there, it extends to the message of the gathering of Kayamita end of the year, October 31st this year. It is the 20th anniversary of my nature's coming out to share, and it coincides with my segmented for my mind's 70th birthday. So all this, like, meant to be, and within this short period of almost 20 years, we managed to accomplish so much of the Dhamma activity and sharing. That's why our journey, the 20 years of Kayamanatership, has been so amazingly wonderful and beautiful, including all those who help out. The website, the printing of the Dhamma books and all those things, and our fellowship, Kayamita Fellowship, spiritual trips and activity that we were able to accomplish through all this Dhamma activity and sharing, especially the establishment of the Kayamita Fund and all the common fund for our spiritual activity and trip. This has helped many Kayamita to develop a lot of wholesomeness that is beyond your comprehension. That's why the moment I decide to come out, I already had all this understanding. That's why I started off with the Kayamita Fund, and I don't want to have a society. I just call our grouping Brother Theos Kayamita, and from there we develop our activity. That's why we don't have a proper registered organization, we don't have proper entity, and yet we were able to get the Sampo Temple to allow us to officially hold annual retreat there because people judge us from the way we conduct ourselves. And many of the spiritual trip, like Mr. Erkin Tudo, the monastery that were very strict because of earlier bad experiences of people going there, they actually don't want to let outsiders come to their monastery anymore. And yet, we managed to visit some of the famous monastery. And after that, the abbot and the abbess, they were very happy with us. And all these are like meant to be. So beautiful, Alicia Sadhu. Luckily, you share that part.
是的，就其实，这就是他，这一次我去这个 spiritual trip 哦，我所学习到的很多很多，因为他不只是，我只是说我的 faith 对那个Manjushri Bodhisattva 就是文殊菩萨的那个真的非常非常的奥妙，因为。Despite 我们上山的路啊，with 那个 van 哦，
不可
他
思议，思议啊，
对，那个 somehow 那个 energy 可以令我整个人整个行程，睡到上去的，然后其实我
是啊，对，then 我
到
说
的，
你遇见很多这个地藏王菩萨的那个如棒啊。很漂亮的哦，我看到哦，very beautiful。 Especially there was one temple, I think. Was it the Nan Tai or what? Oh, before we went up to the stupa to take photo, you remember? At the site, the Tizan Wang Pusa. Oh, that one was very beautiful. Then even at the Zhong Tai also, there's one where the Yang Mang was. So your affinity with Tizan Wang Pusa is very strong. And that way place, we visited a lot of great beings, nature, even Quan Si Im Pusa. Then Amitabha, of course. Then Milo Phor. And Pusen Pusa, together with the Virochana Buddha. Then the Sifang Sansen. Then there was also the Huayan Sansen, all together. We actually encountered them. And there were a lot of. The whole Uthaisana is full of this type of monastery and temple that has a lot of very beautiful energy and history behind. That's why that trip is very, very unique and very amazingly wonderful. So, hopefully it will give rise to a lot of faith to Kayamitas, especially those who go. I think their faith is very different now because you can see and witness the manifestation. Even my daughter was so excited. It's the first time she saw those manifestations. And really in front of her, the cloud formation and the things that happened. These are spiritual activity. That's why we call it, under the Theravada tradition teaching, natural occurrences that will occur when certain event take place, like the passing away of the great being Sakyamuni, or the birth of the great being, the enlightenment of the great being, or people with virtue and great parami when they arise, or when they visit that place or come by, a lot of things will happen. And all this, you will start to witness them. That's why these are all we call nature's occurrences or natural nature's occurrences. And it's nothing to do with psychic. It is nature's way of arranging all this formation for you to witness so that you can have the faith to really go for and continue with your culture. Manyan, you put out your hand. Come in, Manyan. Let Manyan add in. Manyan, come in.
Good afternoon, Radio, Mrs. Tim, and all Kalamita. I just want to express my gratitude and appreciation because, I get a chance to go to this wonderful trip.
Sadhu,
I just want to express this because for this time, I thought it wasn't so easy for me to go because of my parents. But yet, I could go. And when I was there, it felt a bit different from the other trips for me.
Yeah,
Maybe.
definitely. Well, now your understanding is so much better now.
I mean, the feeling was like I'm more at ease. Everything like fall into place, and I felt good. I cannot really explain.
You had a lot of joy, we can see. Yeah, the food was good too. And the Kayamita was beautiful, and the fun that we had while we were on that trip, especially celebrating Pamasuri's birthday. And even encountering people who are so meaningful and joyful, like the abbot, the monks, and all those things.
And even like when I'm not at the temple, even in the Wutaisan, the hotel room, I just feel that it was very silent.
Yeah, very
Very
still.
still, yes. Then especially the day when you were having the first sharing,
Ah, yes, that
Wu
night.
Tai-san, when I walk into the room and I walk to come in,
The energy very strong. Very strong.
because prior to was really talking, that means there is sound, but then I just felt that it was very silent and
Yeah,
very
stillness at the heart there.
I
And
don't
all
know.
of you, even though so tired, like what Sister Alicia mentioned, but every one of us was alert, attentively listening with the faith and joy, that if we were to continue, I think midnight also we won't end. That's why all this like meant to be will be, and it will fall into place. Oh, good that you really put up your hand and want to share all this, sadhu. Continue, Yamaya. Yes.
Yeah, and I also aware that at a certain period of time, I have this negativity of thoughts.
Ah, that one no problem. Yeah, when you are more aware, more mindful, you can see them. So don't worry, because these are not you. Through delusion, it dependent originating, it conditioned out. So this one will come to pass. Finally, when you understand, it will cease. All this, what we call wrong thought, habitual tendency that we accumulated over time before we develop the understanding, they will still appear, then they will still come to pass. Then later on, when your wisdom and understanding stabilize, then you start to understand the true teaching that these are heedless thinking, because at that time when you lack the Dhamma understanding, the stability of it will continue to surface. Sometimes this habitual tendency, although you may go through some form of understanding transformation, but the word is habitual tendency. So initially it will still surface, but the moment it surfaces, your wisdom take over, yoniso manasikara, spontaneously it will understand sankhara anicca, sankhara dukkha, dhamma anatta, then it sees. Then you know all these are dependent originating condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. No mark, no self, nothing. Then it ceases, it continues to cease. And then after some time, the stability of understanding, you realize it cannot arise anymore. That mundane mind, like, cannot do that thing anymore. Then, of course, later on, when you connect to the nature, locate the gateway. Then when it transform until your mundane mind collapse, then the whole thing is gone. Like inside there empty, only that true nature, the true mind shine for. Then during that time is the most beautiful. You are with that nature. You are one with that nature. And throughout the day you are in that state of awareness, clarity, without the mundane mind, the mundane activity. And that is a transformation. That is what the third phase of Dhamma is, Pativeda. You get to live the life of a true awakened being. The form and mind can go through that type of transformation. Then the wisdom that is connected to that thing, the form and mind, the Namarupa, that is the one that live life, Anasana. That is the one that can understand everything, where the wisdom is connected. Both the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma wisdom is connected to that form and mind. That's why the form and mind you can say is enlightened, but it's not you, understand? But that one is a phenomena, dependent originating. That one has its own entity, and it's not a permanent and changing entity, but it's related to you where it's karmically conditional. And that one, you can make use of it. That's why the Heart Sutta mentioned very clearly, when you realize true emptiness connected to the form and mind, then life become wonderful. Zhen kong miao yu means in true emptiness. Once you realize that, then life or existence become wonderful, meaningful, amazingly beautiful. So all this, they will be understood, and it will unfold in stages as we go through the cultivation. That's why this supreme vehicle cultivation, the journey is very beautiful, very rewarding. The word is very rewarding. As you continue to cultivate, to develop the understanding and go through the perfection of the 10 parameters, more and more beautiful and wonderful and amazing things continue to unfold. And it's like, oh, life can be really this way. That's why beyond people's wildest dream and understanding, like I used to say, you may think a lot of things that happen is fairy tale, but the actual happening is even more fantastic than fairy tale. And the way it unfolds, really, for those who can see, can understand, since they have this nature, you can see them unfolding so beautifully. And a lot of the Maya Sutta, they thought it's frictional, the description before the thing. No, it's not friction. When you go through it, you will understand that these are all nature's occurrences. It can happen. That's why cultivation, spiritual cultivation and understanding is not what the mundane thought or thinking can comprehend or fathom. It is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond the conditioned world. Of course, there is such thing as life existent within the conditioned world. And the conditioned world can be very, very beautiful and meaningful. And this is the beauty. Although not so real, not what you think, but there is such thing as life existent. And existent and life, even though it's only within the moment, arise and pass away, but there is existential reality within that is so marvelous, wonderful, beautiful, and meaningful. And we can use the thought, the words to describe it, so that people can develop the understanding. So this is the marvel and wonder of spiritual understanding. It can transcend the unconditioned and the conditioned, so that you develop the true meaning of life, to live life. Although not real, and yet it has its own reality and existence. And this part is the best. You don't exist, no mark, nothing, but yet there is life, there is existence, and there is deep beauty and meaning of existence and life when you have the wisdom to comprehend it. That's why penetrating through emptiness is the essence to understand all this. The word is zhen kong. When you realize true emptiness, zhen kong, then everything can be understood and existence become wonderful. Very good. When you're good, sadhu, you continue, yeah. You created good condition for Dhamma sharing.
Thank you,
to Alicia, yeah.
Brother Teo, sorry.
Alicia, you come in also, no problem. Okay.
Brother Teo, 刚才你讲到真空妙有，以前 Brother Teo 讲真空妙有，我其实不太懂。 但是在我去五台山的 I think 大概2个星期， 我突然间在我的 就是我的蓝音道 meditation 里面，我真正的 like 啊哈到这个4个字。
啊哈 moment， yeah， 萨杜。
他所谓的有，他明白到的所谓的有，就是只是一个因缘法。对，因缘法啊，萨杜，
very good， very true， accurate to the point。
后来我一看那个金刚经那个4个 stanza 哦。
啊，一切有为法，如幻化为。那个《心
经》里面的有为法，就是说，来，它这个字倒反来读哦，更加的清楚的明白到这个所谓的真空妙有。所以我想讲的是，接下来我去五台山这个 trip， 我在当下的。 就是我在当下的 manifestation， 就是说一个 form， 在那个当下怎么样的生活， 样的去 carry 我的 daily life，怎样的去 blend in into the group，you know，所有的一切的刹那刹那，我本来就很清楚，很好像
杀掉，
你没有很多的讲讲那个杂念来 obstruct。block 住你等一下要做什么？等一下，他不是，他是很 spontaneous，该做的做，该做的做，该做的做，他每一个 moment 你都很清楚，这样，所
There is
以，
clarity behind all the manifestation，你一清一楚的，
对，所以
杀掉。
感到哇，原来这个所谓的一切哦，其实是真的是有一个冥冥中，就是所有的。
That is the marvel, the 奥妙的神奇的 aspect,
所以其实这个，所以以前 brother 每天讲真空妙有真空妙有，让我回想起，其实 brother 就讲的达玛，其实讲的听的，你未必当下你听了，你也未必能够真正的就是说去真正的理解它的 very
Until
profound
your
meaning。
cultivation move on to those phases and stages,
所以我想讲的就是这个，所以其实本
杀
来
掉，
就
杀掉，很
要
好。
讲的真的是I mean 很多很多的，因
可是
为
玄花有什么讲不完吗？他说真空妙有啊，讲不完的。他说讲到他死都讲不完的。Everything is so wonderful.
就是本来就很感恩，而且
We should
是，
rejoice actually with all the manifestation happening, outcome and understanding. And this spiritual trip is yet really another very wonderful and meaningful spiritual trip. It's the same as the previous one, but this one is more intense in the sense that I take you all there for the second time. Now, with my nature having transformed over the 15 years, it's different again. That's why before we went, I think they all there know already. They plan all this. That's why they want our itinerary to shift. We have to shift. And all this will fall into place. It's meant to be. That's why it cannot be on the weather after that. You look at it. Oh, I let you plan also. You cannot plan nothing like that. And everything is like meant to be, meant to be. 很好。杀掉。
就是我的 understanding 再加上就是当下你环境不一样，空气天气也不一样，所以我们要怎样的去照顾我们的身体，就是另外一个 understanding。所以这一次我很感恩，让我明白到我们的 perception 或者我们的所有的那种负面的 negativity 不要有，就是跟着一直一直这样子去，no，跟着这个 condition 去 manifest，让我你看我吃得好睡得饱，真的很，
是咯，
因为
很多人跟我讲啊，很好睡啊，因为这个Enjong 也跟我讲，你说不要掉很好睡啊，也是，especially at the hotel 太远了，the hotel was beautiful. Luckily, we cut short the itinerary until the last day, like we won, then we reached there early for something, and we had a good time resting in that hotel, and the hotel was very beautiful, very good. Then that night also, we had a very short sharing to discuss certain thing. That's why even that 20 minutes also end up half an hour, if I'm not wrong. Then, of course, it is really beautiful. And every one of us was so like full of joy, fussy singer, and the faith develops. And that hotel really very wonderful. And he upgraded my room to the executive room, and it was very beautiful. When you all came, you all realized, even your room also, the standard room also very beautiful. We have the marble, everything, the way they do it. It's a very new hotel, but very well done. And opposite is our shopping. the mall and all those things. Huh? Then we get to see the nightlife and all those things. That's why that day at Taiyuan was worth it. And on the way, because we were early, and Linda happened to be a local, he told us a lot of things that you cannot get from other guides, because being a local is still the one that had the understanding. So she herself was full of joy. He had never taken a spiritual group that has all this fantastic encounter. She herself was amazed. He said, he called me Lao Si. So I also don't know why he called me Lao Si, but I think it fit in well. And every time he wanted to consult me, he said, Lao Si, Lao Si. And she asked me a lot of very good questions, which clear up her doubt of what the Dhamma is. And now her faith in the Dhamma is very strong. I saw her donating on her own at many places. She now developed the faith and the understanding. And you look at her, she got a daughter, isn't it? 70 years old already. She is not that young, I think 40 or 40 plus. So all these are meant to be, and she is, I think, one of the best English speaking guide in Taiyuan that managed to get. And according to he has to pay a higher what we call price to get her to actually lead us and become our Taoyu. Then I think for Mr. So I think he did a good job. He actually ordered a lot of good food for us and paid through his own expense. So that's why our final tip to him is also meant to cover for whatever that he expand over. And he was full of joy. And this trip, he really enjoyed. And he said after this trip, he got to rest almost 10 days over before his next trip. So the previous one was back to back, less than 1 day rest. So Mr. Also now developed the faith and the understanding. Very good. Oh, 6 o'clock. So anything else, Alicia? Otherwise, you wind up, then we let Manyuan wind up.
Yeah, okay. Brad, you have a good amazing thing happened when you go to the house.
Okay.
但是哦，回来我听到的禅定哦，不是那个马来人的禅定，不然就他 hearing 很奇怪。
沙哈丢，沙哈丢。
他没有分别出来。
对对对对 ，you will reach a stage， 你不会有那个分别心了的。That all the vibration， if it's good vibration， you will just take it in on， and you feel very good one， you feel very good about it。
So 感恩 Brother Dio， 感恩所有的真的很多的感恩、真的是感恩，
对对对，
还有 Linda、还有就是很感恩他还给我们 souvenir、虽然是小小
那个观世音跟心啊，不是心经跟那个文殊菩萨是吗、那个 like go for it、
so 我虽然是小小的礼物，但是对我而言的
是 very meaningful， very meaningful。
所以，
他们想得到去买这些有意义的 very meaningful 的 gift，
很细心，他们很细心。
对 ，it's from their heart。
Sincere。And then， 所以我的 sharing 就到这里，感恩 brother。
对，沙丢沙丢，Maya， your turn。
Oh yeah， radio。The last bit is I realized that。A lot of other Palimita is very different from me. I mean, in terms of their habits and the way they do things, how to say, like, I might find a bit annoying, but this time a bit different, like that lah. They are like that.
Yeah, just the way they are, ma. You know.
Like, it's not like, they are right, I'm wrong, or they are wrong, I'm right.
No more already, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. No more meaning already. They are just the way they are.
Not annoyance. It's like there will be a question. Why they act like that?
No longer have that. Last time you used to have a lot of all those things. That's why as you progress in your cultivation, your understanding develop this type of equanimity in you. You become like more and more adaptable to things, and no more right and wrong. Right and wrong is convention, not a reality. Reality is thing is just the way it is. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Then you start to see. That's why there is no more like discrimination. Well, why these people are that? No. Sometimes out of compassion, you felt for them. You see. If it's not delusion, they will not end up like that. It is because of sakayadity, lack of Dhamma understanding. That's why their life has become like that. And there is no such thing as pity or what. He know you, he know me, no man, no reality. But everything is just unfolding, like the Diamond Sutta stanza, each year you wave. And no reality in the sense that zu mong, huan pao yi, dreamlike, illusion. And like a bubble, come and go. Then like shadow following you around. So all these are very good analogy of what the phenomenal world of consciousness is all about. It's like a magician unfolding the illusion, the illusionary world. That's why the description of illusionary world is very beautiful. The conditioned world of form and mind. So all these are manifestation of the phenomenal world of consciousness. And within consciousness, it has its content. And this is what the world is. This is what life, existence is. Consciousness and its content through karmic, through all the other nature's law, it manifests. Then no reality. That's why it's called everything is conditioned each year. You wafer. Like my daughter come to know, a lot of things must fall into play before anything can happen. You think it's easier. It's meant to be, that's why. And when it unfolds, he look at it with understanding. He said, I have to understand it so that I embrace it, that I don't suffer anymore. Otherwise, you will suffer or no. Why like that? Why I so sweet? Why this thing must happen to me? Why can't I avoid it? All this is what the thought tell you. Cannot one. The reality is, each year you waver. Condition like that, things be like that, cannot be otherwise. You don't try to be too smart or one. It cannot be different already. If you want things your way, it's not nature's way, you suffer. And that understanding really need to be understood and penetrated. Otherwise, your life never will become conducive for you to be in the state of joy, happiness, and peace. You always have conflict on otherwise. Well, you want things your way. And your way is not nature's way. Your way is your delusion and selfishness and all the mental entanglement that actually create more suffering and miserable. So all this is the beauty of it. Manjan, very good, Sadhu. So you see now, different, huh?
Yeah, because I thought maybe they will also think, yeah, why Manjan like that one?
No, now they see Manjan differently. You no longer like before moody. I saw you with so much joy. You know? Even Sui, they all can see, all the Kaimeta can see. Now Jinhao also got a lot of joy, now we realize. Then every time we cannot find the two of you, we say, don't worry, you will be safe. anything else, Maya?
No more, brother. Thank you very
much. Thank you, thank you. Let us rejoice with the good sharing by Sister Alicia and Maya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now share merits, starting with the devas. Akka satta cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana Itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati dang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati dang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati dang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Devo asat kalena sas sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole Zoom sharing. Thank you for your participation. Sadhu.